Alright, hi everybody, and welcome to History Through Art Week 11. And so, let's start looking at a new painting. And I will go ahead and reveal that to you and allow you to take it in. And we'll begin our discussion shortly thereafter. Here we go. Just bring up your participant list. We'll go from there. All right. Please let me know. What are your initial thoughts, Alexander?
Well, there's this guy standing in black in the center, and almost nobody else is standing in black because almost everybody else has this weird golden cloth outfit. And my second impression was that that guy in the corner with the red outfit is sitting kind of weirdly, and he's a little creepy.
Okay, so we have a man in black, we have somebody in red who's it doesn't seem to be appealing to Alexander, and we have a variety of outfits. So you were mentioning black and red and gold. So yeah, we definitely have this in terms of the what would you call that? The costumes, or what do they do? What do they call that in the movies when they give Academy Awards for costumes? This movie would have a lot of very impressive budgeting for costumes, wouldn't it? What else? Bria, go ahead.
I immediately noticed the king and queen and how the queen has her hand to her head something is really bothering her.
Okay.
And the king has this hand across his chest and he's kind of wriggling.
Huh. All right. Good. All right. So I think it's entirely fair to say I noticed the king and queen, right? I mean, it's such an automatic thing that we are able to decipher on occasion that certain characters have a certain status. So, you know, I'm not going to nitpick and say that that's not visible. I think that in a general context of knowledge, it is possible to make that instantaneous identification, and it's entirely valid. So yeah, so to you, Bria, the king and queen are characters that have a certain weight within this picture. They're psychologically interesting, which is an interesting observation, and I absolutely agree. The characterizations in this painting are excellent in that regard. I very much enjoy the variety of characterizations. Okay. So, Sophie, go ahead.
Even though I think that the man in black is the main character, the king, my eyes immediately gravitated towards him instead of the man in black. Not sure why that is, but I just was drawn to them a lot. And also, I noticed that there was a pair of unlocked manacles lying on the floor.
Okay, so you're very, very keen observation. There's something lying there on the floor. Alright, so... Okay, good. Timothy, go ahead.
Okay, I really like the colors of this painting, and I like how it's sort of set up, and I think I already know who the main characters are.
Yeah, okay, that probably won't be too hard for us to get to, but I'm going to use a technical word, Timothy, which could be worthwhile or useful for you when you want to describe how a painting is set up. The general term for that is composition. Okay, so I think what you're responding to here is this painting has a very interesting composition. One of the features of the composition is the use of perspective. So, for instance, there is a fairly strong use of perspective here in this painting. The artist has created a plane, a perspective kind of by doing this, by setting up this line right here, right? Where's my annotation? There it is. And that line is complemented by or kind of contrasted with this line over here. So it would seem that the lines possibly converge at the end of the painting over here, but in kind of also the hallway itself adds to that depth. We have a kind of hint of the line over here as well. I'm not sure if I'm drawing it absolutely right, but sometimes it's hard to make sure that you're getting it completely right. But these lines also contribute to some kind of point way over kind of off in the distance there, creating a third, very much kind of a strong three-dimensional feel. The image is the composition, I find, has various elements in it. One of them is the use of perspective, which I think creates a very convincing three-dimensionality here. I really like the cavernous feeling of this space. So, for instance, kind of the way that these elements here overhang the rest, which is in the back, strengthens that kind of deep shadow that we have in the painting. The painting is full of really deep shadows, it's a dark painting. In addition, the strange, not at all a kind of upsetting, but interesting use of lighting. The way that the artist has used a kind of a single light source coming from, this also is part of composition, Timothy. Single strong light source from up and to the right. Right? And as a result, certain surfaces and certain things within the painting are bright. And as a result, certain surfaces and elements within the painting are dark. So it's all of these things are calculations that an artist must undertake as he creates the universe that we are to view. And so, Timothy, I completely agree with you that this image has a very compelling composition. I really like the way that it has been visually composed and conceptually integrated. I definitely love the painting. And this artist is definitely one of my favorite artists of all time. So anyway, what else? Does anybody not like the painting? It's always fun when somebody doesn't like the painting. And then we can talk about it a little bit too. Nobody has an adverse reaction? Okay. All right, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Ashton, go ahead.
I mean, it is necessary for any background noise. turning your volume down. I guess I like it. It's not like I don't like it. It's just, I guess.
Okay. So you're you haven't bought in to just the visual aspects of it being as compelling as they are for some of us. Okay. And probably you haven't succeeded yet in identifying exactly what's going on here yet. So that's completely fair. If you get into that situation, it's not uncommon to have a kind of indifferent reaction. So, it's very crucial that we identify what we're seeing, and then we can start to have those kind of value associations. So that's fine. It's a perfectly legitimate place to start out, Ashton. And, well, hopefully I'll be able to convince you that it's way more interesting than your initial reaction suggests you've been able to glean. Okay, Bria.
blanket, but I realize he's holding a map.
Okay. Okay. Well, all right. So I can tell that you're working on... Okay, hold on. You're working your detective skills here. Which is fine. So that could be the case. Hold off on that discussion for the time being, okay? What I want to do as much as possible is avoid trying to come to a conclusion about the identity of the characters until we have done a good job of really identifying that which has been presented to us by the artist. Okay, shortcuts can be okay, but they can also be deleterious to our aim, which is more than just getting to the answer here. Art appreciation is not a race to the finish. Art appreciation is a process of literally. The word appreciation is a very interesting word. What it means is the value of something goes up. So when you appreciate, when you say to somebody, I appreciate you, well, what it means is, I appreciate that gesture, or thank you. You're granting appreciation. It means you are increasing the value of that which was done to you or for you by acknowledging it. And likewise, the process of art appreciation is exactly what it is. What we do is we spend time and the value goes up. If indeed it's worthy of the process, and this painting sure is. So that's hopefully what we'll do here. So we don't want to go too quickly and assume that, oh, the point of all this here is just to get to the end. And no. Not what the title is. And okay, next one. On to the next one, right? Art appreciation. Art is primarily for contemplation. It's to enjoy in visual art. The purpose of visual art is to enjoy using your eyes and your mind. That's what it's for. To enjoy being a visual, conceptual person. The combination of the two. So let's do it. Let's look. Let's enjoy. And let's try to name. And let's try to challenge ourselves to be observant. And see whether or not this artist can reward us. I know he can. For that undertaking. So on that note, let's talk about main characters, and the manner in which this artist has composed the painting for the purpose of highlighting that. So, one main character? Among all of them, and if so, why? More than one? And if so, of course, which ones and why? Or none? So, what do you think? What is the structure of the image with regard to main characters? All right, Alexander, go ahead.
I think it's another one of those paintings with one action and a bunch of reactions, like that painting with the boy king. So I think that the action character is the guy standing in the middle, the guy in black with the blonde hair, because he's standing in the middle, he has nobody next to him, he has nobody in front of him, and he's wearing a pretty different outfit from everybody else, and he's gesturing and looking a little bit stern, and everybody else just has their own reactions that contribute to the painting.
I really like that way of putting it. Actions and reactions. So, yeah, typically in a story, right, we have our protagonist, our main character, is going to be an actor. He's going to be a person who is taking actions. And so, yeah, he might react to others as well and so on and so forth, right? But the actions of the main character are the thing that are going to drive the events. And yeah, in this scene, we definitely have a person who's driving the scene, who's the one who's doing stuff, and other people seem to be reacting to him. All right, so I like that. That's a good one. The situation seems to revolve around him, right? It's evident that we are dealing with... Timothy, please don't do that, okay? I asked you just earlier to not try to short-circuit things. The he's in terms of the way that this scene has been presented, we have this character who dominates kind of the action, as Alexander just said. And if we look at the way that the characters are grouped, there's quite a bit of space around him. He's in an interesting... Remember how I was saying the painting is kind of cavernous? I mean, look at the way that the artist has succeeded in creating a space around the character. So let me try to give him the space that he's in. Right? He's in this space by himself. And around him are shadows. And there's a distance between him and the other characters. Right? So it's interesting how he's done that. And he's succeeded partly in that by using the dark robe and by creating the shadows around his figure. By giving him extra space in the painting, he's made it possible for to really accentuate his shadow. It's almost like nobody else in the painting has a shadow. I mean, I know I'm exaggerating, and it's not quite true, right? So the lady shadow is right back here. Yeah, and there's other characters. Their shadows are there, right? But his is really quite deep and dark. And on top of that, when we look at his facial expression, too, we see the use of light has really created an intensity to this character that isn't present with others. Bria, go ahead.
I was just going to add that you can't really see the ceiling, so it's a quite large place. And also, you can't see his eyes. You can't.
Yeah, okay, so, right, so he's, yeah, we're going to look at that, the fact that we can't really see his eyes. That's a good observation. We'll close in on him a little bit here in a second. But does everybody want to just make the case that there's only one main character, or is there a hierarchy in this image? Are we going to go top character, everyone else? So that would be a very, very kind of, very simple hierarchy with only two levels? Or does the characterization in the painting permit us to kind of understand there's more of a hierarchy here? Where do you stand on that, Ben?
I think the man in black is the main character, and then after that the queen, then the king, then everyone else.
Oh, now that's very specific. You said after him, the queen, then the king. Why did you make that choice?
I'm not sure, the queen just seems more...
I actually agree with
you.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, here's the interesting challenge in terms of visual art appreciation. Why? Do you guys agree that the queen is more important than the king in this painting? How interesting. Why is the queen more important? What did the artist do? I agree. So if you're going to disagree, you better have an argument. Piper, can you give me a reason why?
Well, at the beginning of the painting, I first noticed her because she's the lightest out of everyone.
Okay. Yeah, I think it is a subtle thing, but I agree with you that when you add up how brightly lit any particular characters are, she stands out as the brightest. With her entirely yellow gown and the white highlights on her sleeves, she's the most brightly lit. And so that's interesting. And I think that the artist has been quite subtle here in using the red of parts of the king's outfit and the darkness of his hair to kind of downplay him visually. It makes him a little bit busy. Like his profile is a little bit broken up, and it's kind of feels like different parts of a person, whereas the queen is really one strong unit, almost like a single golden figure. And that creates, I don't know, it strengthens her visually. Timothy?
If you notice, she's also visually in front of the king.
Yeah, slightly the case. Good point, Timothy. Slightly that case, the case because of the three-dimensionality of the scene. Because our point of view is we are too, well, what would be, if we're talking from our perspective, We are on the left-hand side of this cavernous room, right? And so we are looking over kind of our right shoulders towards the characters and or facing in that way. And as a result, she's closer to us than him. Yeah, that's a subtle little item, but I agree with it as well. Okay, so yeah, I think so. I would go beyond that. And I think there's one other thing that features quite importantly here in raising her slightly in the hierarchy. Does anybody think they can pinpoint it? Go ahead, Bria.
Is it the lady that's right next to her with the black hair?
Well, why would that be the case?
Well, she kind of looks drawn back a tiny bit, and that's quite different from the queen's posture and her emotion. And she has different colored hair, and she's not quite as bright.
Well, okay, so
contrast.
Yeah, right. I see your point, and that's a pretty subtle point and a very interesting point, because the artist can create kind of a level of interest in a character at times by means of contrast, by means of providing a foil in our kind of perceptual field. He says, here's a woman and here's another woman right next to her. And so you end up kind of comparing the two. You look back and forth between them. So that's an interesting offering. I hadn't thought of it. I think it's probably partly true. So that's kind of interesting. But my choice is this. My choice with regard to the strongest argument why she's more important than the king is this. So, when you are talking about the main character, right? The main character, who is the main character looking at? By virtue of that, the main character elevates other characters. And so the connection, there's a psychological connection between the main character and the queen. That connection doesn't really exist with the king. The king is important in his own way, but he is actually kind of disconnected from the action, which is interesting. He's almost like, the artist has almost made him irrelevant to this whole thing. So it's kind of strange. The body language, right? The dynamic between the characters is that the main character is looking straight at the queen. And as Bria noticed, her reaction is one of aversion. So that kind of generates tension. It creates a conflict in our scene, right? So let's go now. So yeah, I would say start with the main character, the man in black, then go to the queen, then go to the king. And then after that, it's kind of, you know, wherever you want to go with it in terms of understanding the painting. Once you've got the first three, there's not much more that you need to understand the painting. There is a little bit more. But that would be the primary. So, let's see here. You're right. And Bria, your point is a good one, that the main character is the object of attention of a number of characters, and this lady here is a good contrast to the queen because she is looking straight at the main character, along with so many of these characters over on this part of the painting, right? So we have this concentration of viewers over here who are all very much focused on him. And the fact that she is not right next to somebody that is does create a good effect, does create a good contrast. I like that point. Okay, let's focus on the main character. So, let me zoom in a bit. I think that ought to do it. Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, so now let us take time to carefully observe. And I wanna encourage anybody here to do with this particular character. I think we have a perfect case for an in-class history through art selfie. So that means you get up out of your chair, get away from the computer, stand up, and get into this pose, right? Strike a pose. So we've got, for instance, how would you do it? You would face the computer the way that the man is facing the queen. and you would adopt a certain posture. Your left foot would be pointing perpendicular to the person you're looking at, and the right foot is almost pointing at her. So kind of your feet are separated in that way, standing very upright, very erect posture. And then, what do you have to do in order to be this man? What other features do we have to have in our personal adoption here of the character? So, Bria, go ahead.
What's a shadow?
The shadow, what shadow?
Mainly the shadow that covers his eyes from being seen, and it kind of covers the bottom of his head.
Okay, the shadow that covers the eyes. What is the effect? What does that do that we can't, that dark pocket of his, where his eyes are, what does that do?
It kind of makes you wonder what he's thinking.
A little bit, and it would, if the rest of his expression were equivocal, then it would kind of add an element of mystery. Although, it would be more foreboding than that. I mean, not being able to see someone's eyes is always a little bit of a difficult thing. And especially if it comes from basically this deep, dark, black shadow over their face, that's kind of spooky. I mean, that's kind of scary. So it gives an intensity, right? I mean, because if you compare his face to this man's face, you can see his eyes. His expression is plain and kind of uninteresting, quite frankly. By comparison also, we can see everything about this man's face. It's quite plain. There's no severity to it. There's no particular intensity to it either. But when we're looking at this man, we really get kind of looks like an eagle. He's got this curved nose and a really pronounced brow. And underneath, we get this dark gaze, kind of like a predatory animal, kind of like an eagle. He's got an eagle's kind of a look to him on the face. Now, and in addition to that, we can see the cheekbones really, really kind of exaggerated a little bit almost, right? We can feel the tension. We can feel the musculature of the face. It's almost skeletal. The tightness. What do you see here? When these muscles show up, what does that say? Can you see the way that the musculature is indicated in the face? What does that say? Bria?
He's quite set in what he's doing.
Set, okay.
Stern, that.
Yeah, so the jaw is clenched, and so it's gonna... Go ahead.
He knows what he wants, and he knows exactly what he does not want.
Well, okay, fair enough. Although I'm not so sure, that wanting versus not wanting. I don't think this is a scene where the artist is trying to characterize somebody who wants something other than he's looking straight at the woman. And it's not so much wanting as, well, what is it? Is he asking for something? Is he trying to get something? What is it? Now, I think that comes down to the gesture. So, what are the two elements of the gesture? Let's start with the right hand. Let's see here. Griffin, haven't heard from you today. Griffin, tell me about the right hand.
The main character, the explorer.
I don't know, but
to me, at least, looks kind of like he's conveying an idea of sorts. His left hand is kind of down, and it looks like he's gonna motion with his right hand outwards.
Okay, his left hand is down. Okay, but is it at his side?
No, it's out, sort of pointing outwards.
Okay, down and out to the side. Is this a gesture of pointing?
Not as much pointing as it is I don't know. It looks like he sort of has just been told something. That does is not good. He sort of looks like he's almost stepping back.
I don't sense any stamping. He seems to be pretty planted here. I don't get the sense of motion so much. And I don't, he's very upright, so he doesn't seem to be in motion to me. But we gotta be a little bit more precise here in our formulations about, okay, the arm is down, but it's also slightly out. And this is not a pointing gesture so much, it's because it's a point, you point with your index finger. Alright, so basically, if you wanted to point, if the artist wanted to know that he's pointing at one object, well, he would have his, the rest of these fingers curled. So he's got all the fingers out. And so, it's really, I mean, what you need to do here is adopt the pose. Strike the pose. Alright, so with that left foot pointing perpendicular to the person, the right foot in the direction of the person he's speaking with, then you really have to open up the body. Very interesting. You have to open up your body to get that left arm to go out like that. It doesn't... Naturally, the arm is going to fall down and point towards your foot. So you really have to use your rotator cuff muscles there in your shoulder to bring that arm out and to leave your palm open. And what is that gesture? The hand out with a palm open like that, back and to the side. Back and to the side. I think if you move your hand from just the now normal position to that position, there's it's unequivocal. You have to know what it is. Juliet?
I don't think it's a pointing gesture. It's almost like a showing.
A showing, good, good. A revealing gesture, a showing gesture. Not pointing to an object, but a showing. So there is a good observation, right? If you did that and just kind of animated yourself here from, again, your left arm is just hanging by your side, and then you reveal your palm. You reveal your palm to the person who's looking at you, then really, there's nothing, there's only one choice. Now at the same time though, so we got two things going on at the same time. One, we have the left hand kind of gesturing outward slightly into the back and to reveal, to show things. Okay, and that's why I kind of zoomed out, because we're going to have to kind of try to decipher that. But what about the right hand? What happens to the right hand here in this painting? Again, interesting use of all of the different, you know, what are the specifics here, Alexander?
It's sort of going to his chest, but not like it's slammed on his chest, but just sort of like hanging there.
Okay, all right, so we're on to something. So it's to his chest, but the palm of the hand is not up against the chest. All right, so there are different kinds of hand to the chest gestures, right? One of them would be with the fingers splayed. Try doing that. You know what I mean by fingers splayed, right? Each of them separated from the other, so your hand is really wide. If you put your hand to your chest like that, splayed, well, that can be a pretty strong gesture with the palm actually touching your heart. That's going to be a gesture that indicates emotional effect, right? That you're really a deep, a heartfelt kind of a gesture. You're emotionally impacted by something, right? But what about this one? This is not that gesture. So Alexander's onto something here, that the hand is not up against the body. So what can we do? Let's be as specific as we can. What more can we see here? Do can tell you guys aren't used to being this precise about looking at another person and seeing the body language here. What is this body language? I don't want to go too much closer than that. Our painting, our image doesn't have better resolution than that. All of the fingers are straight. So what does that do? All the fingers are straight and the thumb is pretty much tied up against the fingers. The fingers are not splayed. So what happens, Bria?
I think he's gesturing to himself.
Yeah, it becomes a pointing to himself. Now, when you point to yourself, it's not, you know, you don't point to yourself like you point to another object with your single finger, your single digit finger, right? Your pointing finger, basically. When you point to yourself, I mean, you can curl all the fingers and point back to yourself, but this is more, you can point to yourself and feel that when you keep all your fingers straight and you come back and you point at your heart. Me. It's very much a me kind of a gesture. So whatever is going on here has something to do with him. He's indicating himself. He's doing three things at the same time. Three things at the same time. One, looking with considerable severity towards the queen. Two, pointing to himself. Three, showing things. Aha, so that's a pretty good combination of stuff here. And it tells us a lot. In order to understand their interaction, we have to see all of those things together. Me, you, these things. Me, you, these things. This is the painting here. The relationship between these things. Actually, I'm tempted to go back out into the painting for a second. So many interesting things in this painting. One of the things I find interesting, let me just see if I can highlight it and see if I'm right, is the painting seems to have a strong diagonal line over here. It's not super strong. No, and that's not the right one. I'm going to have to draw it in a slightly different way. The diagonal that I'm interested in is more like this one. It's kind of created by the knee, the leg of this boy over here, and then it goes through this dark space and it passes through the legs of the king, and then through the light here. And there's a diagonal, a kind of in this painting like that. You take it away, it's even maybe a little bit of a curve. It's even curved to a certain extent. Yeah, so we got something worth looking at over here, right? So, but what is the reaction? So it's me, you, and this stuff. Me, you, and this stuff. What's going on? So let's look at the queen. What is her reaction? Oh my. Pretty definitive. So Bria's already said a good amount here. But, Erica, what do you see?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, what about the queen? What do you see?
The queen looks kind of distressed.
Okay.
Her head's sort of boring, almost as if she has a headache or everything's just too much for her.
Yeah, okay. The hand up to the forehead. Okay. Combined with what? What about the eyes? What are the eyes of the queen, the facial expression tell us? Bria?
Maybe she doesn't want to look at them. Like, she doesn't want to be found.
Yeah, at best her gaze is downward, if not her eyes are closed, right? They look closed to me. Like she doesn't want to look. And then her hand to the head is more than just hand to the head. It's also in between her and him. So it's not just she could put this hand to her head. She could put that to her head, right? And the artist has definitely had her put this hand to the head because it's an obstacle between the two characters, right? It creates kind of a barrier between him and her. So that's part of it. Okay. Her posture is kind of interesting. She's got one leg tucked under the other. And she's slightly rotated around and turning away from him. And she's not quite facing him. Her feet are not straight outward. She's rotated around slightly. And what about the right hand? I think that's kind of indicative. What about the right arm and how it kind of, how do we read that part of her body language? What does the right arm tell us? Could be just about anywhere, right? How does she have it? It's very much on purpose. Rhea?
Clutched.
Yeah, it's clutching the chair. So it's definitely bent over the side of the chair and it's clutching. So it's tense. So kind of almost holding on for dear life. Not quite. It's not quite like clutching a handle of some sort, like you're gonna fall or anything. But yeah, it's definitely tense. Unnatural. This is kind of the opposite of her posture, which seems to be kind of relaxed and almost lounging around, but not so much. It's interesting. Alrighty. Well, we'll turn to the king next time. And then we're going to have to look at the context. The closer we look at the context, the more information we're able to glean about the scene. And there will be a lot revealed by that. It's definitely complex. And yeah, we'll have to look at every little corner and see if there's something to detect over there. And we'll have to look at this character that Alexander's interested in, the Red Cardinal, as it were. This is the outfit of one of the leaders of the church, right? And so, what else? What else deserves some of our attention? I think Sophie was mentioning something. We'll have to come back to that too. All right. That'll do it for today, though. So, hope you have a good weekend. And talk to you again on Monday. Bye for now, folks.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.